Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, December the 4th.
It is.
342nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, a noted CPA and guy who knows about cliffs.
I do know a bit about cliffs.
Yeah, Mr. McCauley is with us. How are you doing, bud?
I'm well. How are you?
Nah, I don't go there. Yeah. We've been recanting the last little bit here. Yeah, but the kid's doing okay, even though he's been shipped off to all the desert hot spots.
Yeah.
And, or, pardon me, the garden spots.
For now, it's good. So.
Good. Yeah. Good, 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 good. And you saw the games you wanted to see with the outcomes that you were hoping to see.
I've been to a couple of live games, and they were fun and interesting. And live.
Yeah.
As a 49er fan, didn't really love Sunday's game, but that.
Did you see Stanford?
Did not, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, fine.
Yeah. I saw a little bit of the end of it on TV. Anyway.
But you have been hard at work preparing for this program, because we're going to be talking about all the impacts of what might happen, or if they don't happen, what are those impacts? A lot of stuff's getting swirled around in the news, and we'll see if we can put it on our little special little centrifuge right there in the center of the room when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 314. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. I'm looking for some kind of like a number quote. A humorous numbers quote.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Well, I found that simplified tax form thing, but that's kind of a little, almost tacky anymore, isn't it?
It's a little
It was cute in the 70s when
it's
I first saw it.
It's hackneyed,
yeah. Yeah. Let's see. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. This is getting tough, trying to find a humorous numbers. How about if we just kind of find a humorous one and not worry about it?
There you go. I think that makes sense.
Sign in an auto repair shop. He who looketh upon a woman loseth a fender. That's kind of close to a train wreck, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, with all the discussions going on about the fiscal cliff.
Fiscal cliff.
Right. Is anybody speaking the truth?
Well, I'm sure that everybody from their own perspective is speaking the truth. I think that there's flaws in some of the logic that's being used. But I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a... That's a loaded question. I
prefer to think of it as an open-ended question.
I think it depends on your perspective. I think it's how we filter it, and you know, and I'm not a person who believes the truth is relative. You know, I do not believe in relative truth as an individual, but I do believe that there are a lot of Americans who do kind of subscribe to. You know, the truth is relative kind of thing.
Massage it over a little bit,
And that makes it, I think that makes that a loaded question.
But it was such a simple question.
It was a simple question that you asked, and I went, really?
Uh-oh. You know, I'm not even on my A game. I just hit a long foul ball every once in a while and remember what it's supposed to feel like.
Yeah, just a long strike, right?
Yeah. I heard something, I think it was earlier today, that the Bush tax cuts, or what's referred to as the Bush tax cuts, actually benefited all the way down through middle class and into some of the upper lower class. Fair statement?
Yes.
So if it doesn't become extended, intact, let's just say intact instead of worrying about the deviations. Everybody paying federal taxes? will be impacted one way or another?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say that because what happens if you are indeed paying taxes, and there are a lot of people who might even think they are, they weren't, but if you're indeed paying taxes, you're going to experience a tax increase January 1. I think that's fair to say. I mean, even if you're paying no income taxes, but the only taxes you're paying is the Social Security and Medicare, the FICA taxes that are withheld from your wages, those are going to go up by 2% on the employee share. So everybody is going to be paying. Everybody who has earned income is going to be paying more taxes than they were before if they were paying them. And then when you look at anybody else who is paying taxes, what's going to happen is, you know, we talk about, there's a couple elements. Now, when we talk about the payroll tax cut I just talked about, that was an Obama administration initiative. That was not one of the quote-unquote Bush tax cuts. But when you start looking at the Bush tax cuts, there's a lot of things that fall into that, you know, I mean, if you were, that's a big manila envelope, and it's got a lot of different things in it. Let me put it that way. And so when you start thinking about, you know, how those things, you know, what's included in there, I think it's fair to say if you were paying taxes before, you'll be paying it at a higher rate if everything else is equal.
Which would mean the state isn't banging on you, too.
Yeah, well, what I mean by that is that if all other items of income and expense were equal to
the personal variables.
Yeah, if all those variables were the same, yeah, you would be in 2013.
So what is the significant changes then? Is it just a higher rate? Is it a lack of being able to use certain things for deductibility purposes? What is the significant change between today and what may be in effect 4 weeks from now?
There's a number of changes, and one thing is the rate structure changes. We go back to the pre-Bush administration rate structure, and what that means is if you're earning less. Under the current tax structure, under the Bush tax cuts, there is a 10% tax bracket. That's going to go away. So the first bracket's going to be 15%. If you are earning more than $70,700, then you're going to feel it in the graduated rate structure, the increases, because as an example, most of the brackets go up about by 3 percentage points or more. If that makes any sense. So, and we're all going to feel those things when time comes.
It's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater's 29th season has 6 treats for its audiences. By next summer, it will have presented 2 musicals, 2 comedies, 1 contemporary drama, and a Shakespeare classic at its theater in downtown Eureka. Now playing is Anything Goes, a revival of a musical about antics on an ocean liner featuring Cole Porter's timeless music. Coming in January is American Buffalo, a revival of a Broadway drama about 3 small-time crooks who plan to steal a coin collection. Shakespeare's The Tempest comes in March, followed by Next to Normal, a musical with a contemporary score. The season wraps up with a comedy titled The Allergist's Wife. For details about the North Coast Rep season, visit their website, www.ncrt.net. That's www.ncrt.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and activities that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley, or Karnak McCauley.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was hearing something about the ceremony in Washington that happened. Was it yesterday? Last night? No, it was the night before last, when Letterman was brought in. And the comment made was that he was the Johnny Carson of this generation. And it's funny. I had almost an visceral reaction to that. Carson was the Carson of everybody's time, period. Now Letterman will be the Letterman of his time, or Leno, or any of these other guys that are doing this stuff. You can't, you know, he's the Babe Ruth of this era. No, he's not.
Yeah, was Carson the Jack Benny of, you know, I mean, where do you go?
Yeah.
Where do you go with this stuff?
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, Carson was a
Steve Allen with tenure. What?
Yeah.
The longevity part of it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
And you should be really excited. You know who got in the Broadcasters Hall of Fame who was elected Monday?
I do not know.
Dave Ramsey.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I argued he hasn't been doing it long enough, but it doesn't matter.
What he does very well.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought that might make your heart go a little pitter-patter there.
We can all benefit from listening to a guy like Dave Ramsey. He really has. He's really a grounded, common sense individual. That anyway.
Okay. Back on to.
I approve.
No, good deal. I'm sure that'll cancel me out anyway.
Yeah, everybody's okay. Gone great.
So. Bill, with the discussion points that are around this fiscal cliff thing, and I don't know why that is being used, a lot of folks that would be tagged on the high end are in favor of it. Rob Arkley was on, and he said, yeah, okay. As long as it also includes some of the other things that really are more structural and reform-focused rather than just, you know, pie-in-the-sky stuff. As we look at and compare the two options that are in front of us. Are there a lot of deductions? Are there a lot of changes for that group of folks that are, I'll call it the mythical middle class? Because I think middle class is a majority of people think that's where they are and the rich are making more and, you know, that kind of thing. But in that working title group, what happens to them? Where are they going to get tagged?
Well, what happens, and I think it's important to be clear what we're talking about with the fiscal cliff. There are tax provision issues, and there are sequestration spending cuts that are all part of this whole picture. And I mean, I'm not really talking about the sequestered spending cuts, and I can, but I mean, I'm kind of focusing right now on the tax side of it and on the revenue side of it, if you will, The fiscal cliff, I mean, there's several things we're looking at. One of them is there's one outstanding piece of tax law for 2012 that hasn't really been addressed that we kind of all have expected would be and is going to have a major impact if it doesn't get addressed. And then following that, we go to 2013, and then we've got – that's when the Bush tax cuts expire. That's when the payroll tax cut that we've had for the last 2 years under President Obama – goes away. That's when these sequestered spending cuts happen. So we have a jump in income theoretically at the federal level and a cut in some expenses theoretically.
Now that's if you're sitting in Washington.
Yeah.
What if you're sitting in Norman, Oklahoma? Regular guy, regular
big Sooner
occupation.
Fan.
Yeah. Okay. Other than the obvious genetic weakness.
Oh man. <Yeah. laughs> Well, Mike Strickland's going to be mad.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, get over it, Mike. Yeah. Yeah. Him and I don't know. I think I've seen one other sticker floating around somewhere else. But yeah, I was thinking of Mike particularly for this purpose. You've got the impacts that are outside of Washington.
Yeah.
What are they to the regular guy? What are they to the regular mm-hmm. guy's employer?
Okay, so what's going to happen is that for 2012, we still got to deal with the AMT patch. Are we going to get a patch on the AMT? If not, you're going to see the projections are another 27 million Americans paying alternative minimum tax that haven't in the past, which is a massive increase in the number of AMT returns. And so that's number one. That's just this piece that's out there floating in the ether. And when you're trying to help people make decisions for the end of the year, we can't tell them how much their tax is going to be.
And you're talking about that would impact
2012.
Today's
year. That's correct.
Year.
So that's a big deal. Because right now, if they don't patch it, as I say, there's going to be 27 million more. And, you know, that's a sevenfold increase in the number of AMT returns.
Is that a lot more revenue to Washington?
Yeah, there's a lot of it. There's quite a bit of revenue attached. A lot of it. There's a pretty good revenue bump that would go along with it, and so it's there's projections of as much you could have several billions upon billions of dollars that would be raised by this AMT. increase,
but hundreds of thousands of people who would be
you have millions
exercised.
Of millions of people who would be upset who are going to have a change in their taxes, so that's a really big deal. It's the AMT, in my personal opinion, is a wrong-headed, archaic dinosaur of a tax that has no business really. It doesn't do what it was intended to do. Now it just, by accident, kind of raises some money. And so our elected officials do not have the courage to do the right thing and do away with the AMT and just have a regular tax system, because it's not hitting the people it was designed to hit. It's just hitting people much more arbitrarily.
This would be that 2% kind of.
It hits below the 2%.
Right.
And it'll hit well below the 2% if they don't patch it. So there's a big deal here that needs to be addressed.
It's 3:30.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon.
Wow.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:36. That's my news voice. You like it?
It is nice. You ought to be like reading it. The news.
Yeah, I can't read.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah. I mean, if they're really big letters and written in crayon, I might have half a chance.
Yeah, I guess that's
what makes this so much easier. I don't have to read. Don't have to think.
The reality is, you've made some notes over there, and your writing is legible to you, but not necessarily to others in all cases.
That's why I have to type things up for the quarterly reports. Before the break, Bill, you were talking a little bit about the AMT and what would happen, what might happen, what your projections are, if it doesn't get either a permanent fix or a short-term addressing.
Yes.
As you look at it, do you, with the people that would be hurt, okay, that would pay more, would it be enough to cause a ripple back to Washington? Would it raise more money for Washington if it wasn't addressed? Would the regular guy or gal who would be impacted by this even recognize that there was something going on other than the big hullabaloo of the Bush cuts not being extended and everybody paying more? I mean, is that providing cover for them?
I think that if they don't patch the AMT, which means right now what happens is the exemption falls back to the 2000 level. So it goes all the way down to, from 70-some thousand to 40,000. And computationally, that makes a huge difference in who's going to be subject to the AMT. If that doesn't happen, then I think you're going to have a large hullabaloo that will occur. I think you're going to have a lot of dissatisfied taxpayers, because they're going to know their taxes went up, and they're going to ask, if they don't prepare the return themselves, they're going to ask their preparer, why am I paying more taxes? And, that answer is not difficult to ascertain.
Let me ask that question. Okay, we know the easiest way to get tax reformation would be not to have it taken out of anybody's paycheck and have everybody have to cut a check every 2 weeks to the state and the fed.
Yeah, that would do it.
Okay. With tax returns, does anybody look at how much they pay versus how much they think they're going to get in return, or whether they have to pay?
Some do, some don't. I think some people only look at the refund line. Am I getting a refund, and if so, how much? I think other people critically look at it and understand, what's in their returns. I think it just depends on your bent. If you're inclined,
severe, of course.
If you're inclined to pay attention to that stuff, you probably look over the return and go, hey, wait a minute, I had $7,000 withheld from my check, and I'm going to get $1,000 back. So that means, you know, I paid $6,000 of taxes. Other people look at it and go, "Hey, I'm getting $1,000 back," and that's as far as it goes. And so, you know, and I think we all know people who are on, you know, I mean, we all have family members who watch everything, every little detail, and you bet they know. And we also have family members who don't pay any attention to anything. You bet they don't. And then there's everybody in between.
So with the AMT.
Yeah.
Do you perceive that people will know? Do you think that people will go on the warpath if this patch doesn't come into effect?
Yes, I do. And for that reason, I do think that they'll probably do something with that AMT patch.
Okay, now let's really expose the old flesh here. 1 year? 2 year?
1 year.
4 year? Okay.
Because to our elected officials in the long term, the longest in Washington, our elected officials, the longest term they can possibly think of is until their next election. I'd love to think these people are altruistic and actually have the best interests of anybody other than their reelection in mind, but I don't believe it. And so, you know, I'm a political skeptic of epic proportions, and I'm an equal opportunity critic when it comes to our elected officials.
So let's shake up the.
And let me be clear. I'm talking about the national. We're talking about the national.
Well, the state. You could wrap that.
Yeah, I probably have the same statement. I don't feel the same way about our local officials. I think those.
Neither do I.
In general, I think they're hardworking and.
And they know where we live.
Yeah, and they don't always do it the right way in my mind. But we all feel that way. I mean, we all look at situations and judge them and say, "Hey, this." But I think they're all working hard, and they all have our best interest at heart.
So, what kind of timeline we got? Let's see, today's the 4th, so we've got 27 days left. Mm-hmm. Somewhere I heard that there are 10 legislative days in the month of December.
Yep.
Okay. Now you say this is going to happen. I'm sure they're not going to be tickled to come back Christmas to New Year. Okay. When?
The
do you
end
think
of the legislative calendar.
So a week from Friday?
Yeah, whatever date that
slap
is.
Slap a little roof tar on that thing and get it through?
On or right before that date, and I think they'll deal with it.
We'll see what else he thinks are going to slap around when we come back. KINS, News and Information Times, 341.
Oh, this is great. Buffalo burgers and grilled ribs, live country music. Hey, we're here in Fernbridge at the Angelina Inn for the Country Jam and Cowboy Buffet. We got Mike Riley and the Yager Creek Boys live on stage with a lot of the best musicians sitting in. We got chili, cornbread, potato salad, hot wings, buffalo burgers, grilled ribs. We got $2 domestic beers and a buck off the rest of the brews. You ought to be here right now and every Sunday, noon to 4, the Angelina Inn's live country jam and cowboy buffet. AngelinaInn.com.
The state, the majority voted to have an increase in the sales tax. When does that go into effect? What are the expectations or the ripples on that one?
That becomes effective January 1, quarter cent sales tax increase. I believe that has a 3-year duration. At which time, then the state will come back and ask us to extend it. If history's any indicator, I mean, you never go backwards from these things for the most part. There are a few exceptions. We went backwards on some VLF fees on auto license renewals at one point, but for the most part, you know, you just don't go backwards on this stuff.
Well, I thought that was called largesse when it rolled back.
Yeah. So. So the sales tax thing is coming. See, if you want to do your shopping, you might want to do it this year and save a quarter cent.
So what would you recommend for our business owner buddies in Crescent City?
Shop in Oregon? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Good. Good. Jeez.
That was a joke.
Just what I thought. We were to hit the bottom. We just found a whole new level. Yeah. Yeah, an underwater
new
trench.
Low.
Yeah.
New low.
Okay. No, I just got to slide on that one now.
You want to ask me another question?
No. Yeah, bring up the band.
You're waiting for bongos, aren't you?
Yeah. Obamacare. Do we know yet what the impact of that is? Is that settled into effect? Because that also is right around the corner as well.
Obamacare, there's a couple things that are going to start in January that are important for people to be aware of. Number one, for 2013, if your wages are going to be over $200,000, there's going to be an additional 0.9% Medicare tax added to your wages. That'll go on as withholding, and then when you file your return, you'll determine whether you actually owe it or not, and it's potentially refundable. But that Medicare that's a brand new one. So that's basically, I mean, strategically they chose 0.9, which is less than 1%, but it's 1%. So if you think about somebody who's making over $200,000 on wages, they're going to have, in addition to their regular federal income tax withholding of say 30-some percent, maybe 31% at this point, then they're going to have additional 1% withheld, plus, you know, their regular Social Security, and well, the Social Security wouldn't be there, but their other Medicare would be at that point. So that's a new one. Number two on Obamacare is that if you have what we would kind of characterize as investment income, and to the extent your income exceeds $250,000, you're going to have a 3.8% tax on that income. So interest, dividends, royalties, rents, all these kind of unearned income items, not
rent?
Pensions.
Even if rent. Somebody's got a firm or let's say a family business and they have rentals?
Yes. Rents, net rental income.
That's seen as passive.
All that stuff is going to be taxed. If your income exceeds $250,000, it'll be taxed an additional 3.8%. So another way to look at it is 4%. It's not quite 4%, but it sounds better. 3.8 sounds better than 4. So so think about it. If you were if you earn a W-2 and you make $300,000, just picking a number out of the sky, and you have an additional 0.9% withheld for Medicare on your wages, plus if you've got dividends and interest to the extent your income exceeds $250,000, that's going to have another 3.8% taxed on top of it. So it could be, you know, for people that, you know, you could be looking at you know, an extra nearly 5% just on those two items if you fit that set of circumstances. And that's before we talk about, you know, the Bush tax law changes and those going away.
So we got 20 seconds to go. Comment about planning? Just hold your breath and wait.
Yeah, it'd be nice to know what the law is going to be for 2012 to really make good decisions at this point. The general presumption is accelerate income into 2012 and defer deductions for the simple reason that tax rates are going to be higher for a lot of people in 2013.
Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, it's been fun.
So you wrapped it up in that 30. That's not bad.
I did okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
You want me to keep going?
Solid C. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.